Salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning. If this is Friday, this must be a different town. Let me slide out of the way here a second. Here's where I am. I'm in Wisconsin, courtesy of Rob Pugh and the Wisconsin Christian News, who now have a Salt and Light Brigade branch up here in Marshfield, Wisconsin. I wish I could turn the camera around and show you. This is like a soundproof studio. Rob does some radio, and so he's created himself a nice little studio, and he even went out of the way and got some lights so that my face would show up here this morning. We had an event here last night. We'll speak with you a little bit about here today. This is Flea Flicker Friday. I'm sorry I don't have my Hillary for Prison shirt, because I get up every day and I'm hoping hard for that one, that somehow justice is going to be done in the good old USA. And as most of you know, on a Flea Flicker Friday, we're going to talk about what you all want to talk about. Yeah, Rob, I'm fine. As you guys know, I got some things I want to lay on the table, but I'd love to hear from you what's important to you guys. And understand as a Minnevisikar, the times in which we live, and know what it is that Israel should do. I want to jump in here. First of all, listen, if you're in the Wisconsin area, I don't know what we called last night. It was kind of an open house here at this ministry center that Rob's opened in Marshfield, Wisconsin. We had a good crowd. I didn't get a good count on it. I'm guessing 60, give or take, a good crowd. And the most amazing thing happened. It was just great the way it played out. It started at 4 o'clock. It went from 4 o'clock until 9 o'clock, we had a concert, several different things that went on afterwards, fed the people, and setting up our boot camp, which begins today. I got to get down to Milwaukee. It's about three and a half hour, maybe 4 hour drive. Michelle and I have to do here today. But when we tipped off yesterday at 4 o'clock, I want to thank Matt Tuella, Missionaries to the Preborn, who sent five of his guys up to Milwaukee to help us do some boots on the ground. It's my opinion, as always, that most Christians' faith isn't stronger because they don't do boots on the ground. By that I mean they never take the faith to the streets. They never do. So about 10 minutes after four, the event began at 4 o'clock. About 10 minutes after four, Rob introduced me real quick. I said, okay, folks, here's what it is. I gave him about a 5 minute version of what we're doing with the Salt and Light Brigade. And I said, here in 5 minutes, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to walk out that door. That's the front door. It goes right out into downtown Marshfield. I'm going to walk out that door, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to pick up a sign, and I'm going to go out, stand on that corner, and I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. And people are going to flip me off, and people are going to give me thumbs up, and it doesn't matter. Jesus said, don't be surprised when they hate you, because they hated me first. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So here's what's going on. I'm going to let Rob say a prayer, and I'm going to the streets. And I'd love it if some of you joined me. So I walked out, and I didn't know if anybody'd come. So, you know, I walked down the block. It's pretty busy streets. I walked down half a block and get on the corner and got my sign, and I keep looking back to see if anybody's coming. Is anybody coming? And all of a sudden a trickle. One came out, another came out, and it was amazing. They all came out. We had about 20 abortion signs up and down the streets in downtown Marshfield, Wisconsin. People who had never, ever done anything like that. And the testimonies afterwards, you guys all know that. You guys have done it. You know what it's like, right? The testimonies afterwards that, gee, many crimey coach, I felt so alive. And and they were telling about people giving them thumbs up, and they're handing out literature and telling about people who are giving them that other signal, that you're number one signal, and They were alive and engaged. It was amazing. We had a great night because we came back in, and then we did a little bit of a debriefing, which means I basically just kind of yelled at him a little bit. I want to show you, just as we start off the show here, folks, listen, I just can't. I've given my life to trying to build men. That's what I've given my life. And being perfectly honest, sometimes I get greatly discouraged. I really do. Because, you know, I come out like last weekend, and I know Gary, Pierce, and John, they were disappointed when we were up at Worcester, Ohio, or Orville. We thought that, you know, hoping for 100 and got half that many. And just like I said yesterday, people are starting to wake up, but they're still in bed. You can't get them to roll over. And I said, every time I go and we do something like this, I see men grow and courage grow in them. And why can't we get the churches to understand it? Now, listen, same thing. I want to make the point. I believe the church on the corner, for the most part, is dead. I believe it's dead. But I don't believe everybody in the church is dead. I believe they just need resuscitated. They need a little bit of life blown back inside of them. In the room last night, we had, what did I say, 60 people. I don't know exactly what the count was. And one of the most amazing things is they're not churchgoers. These are not people that go to church. They don't go to church. They love the Lord. They're sick of what's going on in the country. They don't know what to do about it. I'm going to play, I got an 8-minute video. I'm not going to play that long. But I just want to show you the video of, hey, little tutorial, okay? Folks, when you take a video on your phone, all right, or you hold them like this, okay? When you take a video, if you hold it horizontal, that's not horizontal, vertically, if you hold it like that, you get a very, you get on the part of your screen, this part's black and this part's black. But if you take the camera and you simply turn it this way, you get a full image, okay? I'm going to let you see this in the video that I play, because I start out half of the videos, I do this because I'm having technical issues with my phone. And then about midway through it, I thought, well, heck with it, I'm going to flip it. And I did, and it flipped for me. So when you make videos, do them this way, not this way, okay? Because you just a full landscape perspective of what's going on. So I just want to show you just a brief video here of these guys coming out on the streets. I was like a kid in a candy shop, man. Watching these people, it was awesome watching their faith grow and their courage grow and all of that. So Jared, go ahead and throw that up there on the screen, and we'll just play a few minutes of it. I apologize because I got the camera going the wrong way. No, wrong one, Jared. On me. We'll play that one in a sec. Hey, folks, that's my fault. Jared, play the one that says, where is it? On the streets in Marshfield. That was on the big one I sent to Jared. 1, 2, 3, fourth one down. I'm sorry, buddy. On the streets in Marshfield. We'll get that one. My bad, boys. My bad. Again, these are people that most of them had never done anything like that. I said, I'm going out there. Come and follow me. And they did. Here we go. John has. John's done it. She has as well. And look right here. This is not healthcare. This isn't healthcare. We know this. The boots on the ground makes all the difference. We got to get people out. And again, this is really pumping me up because most of these people have never done this before. Sharing the gospel, right? Standing up for truth, educating people. Look at them down through there. These folks, oh man, does my heart good. They've never done this before. And you know what's happening right now?
Their courage is growing. They're getting more courageous. Look at them standing down there. Look at the traffic coming by. We tell people this is for the first time. Jesus said that he wouldn't be ashamed of you before his Father if you're not ashamed of him and for men. And so we're out here with some of the missionaries of the preborn. Look at that picture. This is not health care. This is a Holocaust. It's a 10-week-old murdered human being. 6,000 murdered in Wisconsin every year. Comes Jonathan and help bring the crew down from the missionaries to the preborn. Just trying to show you. Trust me, folks. You don't know this. You don't believe this. Most of these folks have never done this before in their life. Have you ever done this before?
I've been there.
You've been there.
In Sparta, when Matt Tuila was there.
All right, so Matt's shown you how to do this. But you know those butterflies in your stomach that you get when you have to go do this for the first time? It's good stuff. We got some folks out here doing some good stuff. Bless you. Thanks for being here. Here's our meeting room. And I said, listen, I just told them before we came out, you don't have to go. If you don't go, that's okay. And look at that room emptied. Some of these people have never done this before in their lives. Now look, I'm going to walk.
This has never happened in Marshfield
before. Pardon me?
This
has never happened in Marshfield before. They said, okay, now look, I'm going to go down here on the corner again. This is what we do in our boot camps. This is what we do. Look down here, standing on the corner. These people have come out from hiding. They've come out of their comfort zone. Ignore road, defy tyrants, abolish abortion. Have you ever done this before?
No, not since the first march in Washington.
Oh my goodness.
In 1974.
1974, first time since 1974. God bless you. You ever done it before?
Yeah, we do it in Uganda. I came from Uganda to spend 2 weeks on a mission working in the U.S., so I'm such a blessing to be here.
Be able to be here and be part of it.
Yes.
America's crazy, aren't we? Americans are losing our stinking mind.
Exactly. They're losing their culture and they're losing their freedom. If they don't wake up, it's dangerous.
Amen. How come he knows that and we don't? You ever done this before?
Not hold signs, no.
No, he's never held a sign before in his life. What that sign say? Am I not a human? Were you not once here yourself? Huh? What do you think of that, folks? What's your name?
Doug.
Doug, wait. Thanks for being here, Doug. Look, I'm going to go cross. Folks, these folks, they've never done this before.
This is about a block long.
They've never done this.
The big area,
look down
man.
Here. Oh, my goodness. There's Don. Get the guys out on the streets. Out on the streets, huh? Yeah, have you ever been out on the streets?
Never been out here.
Look at that. And he hadn't melted and anything has happened to him. He's holding a sign, equal rights for all humans. Folks, we've got to engage the enemy. We cannot sit inside our churches.
It goes on for about 7-8 minutes, but you get what's going on, man. And it was so unbelievable. And then, as always, praise the Lord, the cops showed up. It's never good unless the cops show up, because we have been so trained, see, to obey the law, obey the authorities. And so I made sure I was going around. And I was trying to get everybody saying, listen, just stand tight. No matter what they tell you, you just stay. You hold your ground. You don't back up. And boy, you know what they're saying. Oh, yeah, those cops. They said, listen, we get a lot of calls about those pictures. I said, yeah. He says, well, people are offended by those pictures. Yeah, really? We're offended by the murder. We don't care if the people are offended. In fact, we came out here with these signs to offend people. And he didn't know what to say. I said, don't you understand this whole thing is about the pictures? It is about the victims? That some of these people here in Marshfield, they were driving up and down the street for the first time in their lives. They're seeing what an abortion looks like. So the people there got to experience what happens when the cops come. They try to intimidate you into leaving. Although the cops were very professional last night. They didn't. It did my heart good. Okay, it did my heart good. Just reaction here before we move on. Reaction to what you guys see. We'll do this. We're doing this tonight in Milwaukee. We're doing a boot camp tonight, hitting the streets. We're going to one of the darkest death camps in America in Milwaukee tomorrow morning. We're going to have a slew of people out there for the first time. We've got about 30 people who've signed up to come to this boot camp, probably more that will come. And we're going to be on the streets again like this tomorrow. And we want to do that in your town. We want to awaken the Christians in your town. I don't know if you can see it. And I'm not asking for sympathy.
My wife and I, we're wearing ourselves out, gone places, trying to get people. Come on, now's the time. It is so critical now. Look what's going on with Hillary and all this crazy stuff that's going on. And the church ain't ready, boys. If you won't step, I told them last night, if you won't do it when it's easy, you ain't going to do it when it's hard. And it's easy right now. We can still do it. They won't try to shush us off the street, but it's coming. And if you won't do it when it's easy, you ain't going to do it when it's hard. Amen. Come on, baby.
Amen.
Amen. We got it.
Water's fine. Hey, come on in. Somebody go ahead.
Hey, yeah, coach, you know that we also have to educate these police officers, you know, and let them know that we're actually doing their job by protecting the innocent and holding up the law. And begin, you know, many of the officers, and of course, as a chaplain with the sheriff's department, many of these officers, they've never read the Constitution, the very thing in which they swore to uphold. Right, brother?
You bring up a good point.
You know what I said to one of them last night? Because they're good guys. They're trying to do their job. Hey, guys, listen. They just want us to go away. They don't care. They just want us, don't want us to. They just want us to go away.
Yeah.
And they're talking to me. I'm kind of the leader. So they're talking to me. I worry about this guy here and this guy here. And I'm afraid he's too far out there and they're going to get run over. And all. I said, hey, listen, officer, do me a favor. Hold my sign. I'll go talk to him.
Hey, coach.
He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to hold that abortion sign. I said, it's your job, buddy, to make sure this isn't going on. It's your job to protect these innocent ones. You hold this sign, and I'll go talk to the people. Didn't want to go. Coach, he didn't want to go there, though. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I think that's where we need to start. Maybe we need to start on the side of the law enforcement officers. I mean, if you go to a firehouse, they're going to take you in, absolutely. You know, maybe that's where we need to go. Start with the law enforcement.
Well, Vince, there was quite a stir caused in this city last night. Like it says in the book of Acts, they caused quite a no small stir, I think is what it says. We caused no small stir. In fact, what was really good about it, the traffic got thicker and thicker and thicker as people were calling their friends saying, hey, you got to get downtown and see what's going on downtown. And so we held our ground. The cops were very professional. We did not give an inch. And so the people got the opportunity through this training to see the cops and face the cops and understand that the cops don't always understand. We told the cops we will follow a righteous order, but we're not going to follow an unrighteous order. And we're not going to move when we have the right to stay here. And so there was a median there, and the policeman came up to him. Of course, they're worried about our people standing in this median right in the, I mean, it was a wide 5-6 feet median right in the middle of the road, separating the, you know, guys know how they are. And we got guys standing in the median holding the signs. And they said, they're going to have to, they can't be out there with signs. They can't be out there. And I said, why not? And they said, well, it's dangerous. I said, well, let me ask you something. Are they allowed to stand there without signs? I mean, is this a thoroughfare? Are they allowed to stand there? And one cop looks at the other. And I said, I don't see any signs that says no pedestrians. Are they allowed to, and during the day, are they allowed to walk up and down here? They said, yeah. I said, well, we're walking up and down here today, except we're holding signs. They see, you just can't be Buffalo, see? You just can't be Buffalo. We were very respectful, but we held our ground. So it was a great lesson. I don't want to get bogged down on that. Anybody else, anything to add? We want to do this in your town. We want to do this in your town. Watch Christians grow, hair on their chest, courage come out of it. Those women started running out there, handing out flyers so fast that people were driving by. It was a great event. I salute Rob.
Hey, Coach.
Putting this thing together.
Hey,
yeah, Dale.
Yeah, the book of Acts that talked about it said when Jason and them came into the city, and it said, and these men who are turning the world upside down, remember, the person who was speaking was an unsaved person, so that's the way he saw it. But in all truth, they were actually turning the city right side up.
They were turning the city right side up.
That's what you're doing.
Amen. And so it was great. I'm just telling you, it was great. And a lot of the people who came last night, excuse me, or coming to the boot camp down in Milwaukee today. Now, remember, it's 4 hours. It's 4 hours to Milwaukee. And they're coming down today, and they're going to be part of it. So I'm a couple of days feeling bad for myself, patting myself on the poor me, sucking on my thumb that we're making a difference, man. Don't despise not the days of small beginnings. And then we got Rich and these guys down in Port Arthur. Rich, can you jump in here a little bit and give us an update? And I got a little 2-minute video I'm going to show those guys down there as well. Can you get it? Are you still with us, Rich? He was eating breakfast earlier when I was talking.
Yeah, I'm here.
Tell us what, give us a full report there, Rich.
Yeah, we ended up with all 10 guys showing up. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Dale knows it. It takes a few hours to get everybody in their position where they fit in. And man, by lunchtime, we were just rocking and rolling. I mean, man, we got this house just about done, about three quarters of the way done. And Miss Diane, the homeowner, man, she's just tickled to death and giving out hugs and everything else. So, you know, it's just, Dave, somebody's got to do it. You put a crew together to come down here, and man, these guys are just working hand in hand, and it's life changing. I mean, how many times we got to say it?
It is for them, isn't it, Rich? It's life changing.
It's for me too. Yeah.
Folks, I mean, serving the Lord, just doing like what did Rich say? Just doing my part. And I, Rich, I try to tell people, say, listen, don't you want your faith to grow? Go serve people. Go do something for the Lord, and your faith will grow. And it's happening down there. Some of these guys, Rich, probably the first time they've done anything.
Well, first time they've actually been involved. I mean, they've done the work, but not under the guise of lifting up the name of Jesus. You know, so
that's right.
Everybody's having a good time, Dave. We're working hard, having a good time, praising the Lord.
We got to figure out a way to get Robert down there with you. You with us this morning, Robert?
He's there with us.
He's always with you in spirit. He's going to get crying because he wants to be there. I know. Are you there, Robert? I think he's there. He was in the show.
Yes, sir. I'm watching. Hey.
Go ahead, Robert.
I'm here, Coach.
Well, Big Rich is telling you that you're...
I was just going to say, I'm with you.
Go ahead. I feel like I keep walking on you, Robert. I'm going to shut up, and you go ahead and say what you want to say.
No, I just say, when I ain't around, Joe, I feel like my right arm's gone.
Well, buddy, you're with us. You know, we can't all go every time. That's why I said, we're going to get something going on down in your area, because we know that you would drive that 20 hours, whatever. Well, we know that you would do it. You're with us in spirit, man, and good to see you with us here this morning, by the way, Robert. We love you to death, old buddy. We love you to death. So Rich will pound a few nails for you down there as well. Hey, Jared, let's go ahead and play that other video that you started there. It's just a two-minute clip that Jim Kraft put together of what those guys are doing down in there. So let's go ahead and play that one real quick, Jared.
Okay, here we are, Port Arthur. We're in our first house. We got Mark Mudden.
Thank you.
Jim Bob is putting screws in drywall down there behind him. Yep, these guys are hard at it. We go in here. You see we just about got that room done. That's a bedroom. We just about got the hallway done. Okay. Down here's Craig, he's mudding. And Rich is down there. He's playing with his phone right now. He's gonna try to take a picture of his video. Anyway. That's Craig. Rich. Come in here. We got Tony and Daniel. And they just about got this room done. This is a master bedroom. You can see the big closets right here. Nice closets. Yep, there's Daniel over there. He's trying to hide in that closet. So Tony knows where he's at, so he'll get him back to work. There's Tony. Tony's marking. He's getting ready to make a cut there. Yep. These guys just about got the master bedroom done. They got a bathroom there, though. They got to get that yet. So anyway, ain't trying to hurry you now. There's Rich. He's still taking snapshots. How you doing, Craig?
Good, brother. Good, brother.
Yeah. We come in here, and we haven't made it to the kitchen yet. It's a nice big kitchen and dining room, just the way I like it. And here's Ray and Dave. Ray and Dave. Ray's holding court with Dave. Dave's learning right now. Ray.
Appreciate it. What are we talking with?
Yeah. All right. These guys, they've been hard at it. They're taking a little break right now. Yep. And anyway, we're knocking it out here in Port Arthur. Lifting up the name of Jesus. Praise God. Lifting up the name of Jesus. That's right. And lifting drywall at the same time. Yeah. We'll talk to you all later.
I don't know about you guys. That does my heart good. It does my heart good to see guys growing, living out their faith, and loving what they're doing. I don't know if I told you guys this. I don't know most of those guys down there. I mean, I don't know Daniel. I don't know Mark. I don't know Craig. A lot of them I don't even know. They contacted us over the internet. They'd love to come. Love to come. We'd like to put you to work too. Maybe not there, but we'd like to get you engaged in your faith. Somebody jump in here.
Hey, Coach, plug it, because I do have some people coming in next weekend, and I've already got a team coming in on the 15th of November. Big Rich, I appreciate you guys. You guys are rocking it. Thomas, Diana said hello, and I'm looking forward to getting down there and seeing y'all.
Dale has carried the mail down there for us, brother. He's kept that alive, and we appreciate Dale, Chris Keys, and all those guys. So, but folks, this is what we're about. This is how it works. Big Rich is a leader. He's a leader of men. And I know that we can get that thing organized down there. And I just let Rich use his gifts. Jim Kraft, they just use their gifts. This ain't, they don't need some pastor. They don't need somebody down there. Hey, Rich, would you go down there and put some drywall? Yep, sure will. They know what they do. That ought to be the way we are spiritually. And you're not getting any chance to use your gifts. And that's why we're looking at the church, and the church is dying. Everywhere we look, it's dying, because it's become a one-man production. One man. And that's not even fair. You think about Pastor Dale, who is a pastor and a leader of men. I was watching how many things he's doing, how many different things he's doing. And I thought, my goodness, isn't there somebody who can come along and help take some of this off of his shoulder? He's casting the vision. Won't somebody come along and cook the gumbo for him? Won't somebody do that? Well, Dale's not going to let him, because he's a gumbo expert. But you get my point. And so here I am in Marshfield, Wisconsin, raising up, putting some boots on the ground under Rob Pugh. And we got people working in Wisconsin, and we got people working down in Texas. And we, oh, this ain't hard. Come on, man. This ain't hard. What the church ought to be doing. And what the church ought to be doing. Anybody else for I? What do you think there? I see old Jeff's in there. What do you think there, JC Autos? What do you think what you're seeing there, man?
Yeah, good stuff, man. Good stuff. Hey, I just want to mention, I never go on this, but this, I have a hashtag I just created. It's CANST, which is Children Are Not Sex Toys. You want to report bastards, report them there. CANST. That's all.
Children are not sex toys. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to shift gears here, shift directions a little bit this morning. Try to get into some serious stuff. I always try to, I don't have my Bible. We stayed upstairs. I didn't bring my Bible down with me. I asked Joe Silver. Silver has done devotions, morning devotion. And I just asked, he's got one geared up here for us. So, hey Silver, man, real quick, tell us where's this from, and then go ahead and play this thing for us, if you will.
Okay, this is a devotional that actually, did you want the whole thing or just half of it?
Half of it.
Okay. It was a devotional that I recorded back on today's date in 07. So,
10 years ago.
And, we're going to play the Oswald Chambers portion of it. And, God bless you as you listen. Here we go.
And from Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, for October 27th, The Method of Missions. For Matthew 28, verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Jesus Christ did not say, go and save souls.
Amen.
The salvation of souls is the supernatural work of God. But he said, "Go, make disciples of all the nations." Yet you cannot make disciples unless you are a disciple yourself. When the disciples returned from their first mission, they were filled with joy because even the demons were subject to them. But Jesus said, in effect, "Don't rejoice in successful service. The great secret of joy is that you have the right relationship with me." See Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. The missionary's great essential is remaining true to the call of God and realizing that his one and only purpose is to disciple men and women to Jesus. Remember that there is a passion for souls that does not come from God, but from our desire to make converts to our point of view. The challenge to the missionary does not come from the fact that people are difficult to bring to salvation, that backsliders are difficult to reclaim, or that there is a barrier of callous indifference. No, the challenge comes from the perspective of the missionary's own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. From Matthew 9:28, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Our Lord unwaveringly asks us that question, and it confronts us in every individual situation we encounter. The one great challenge to us is, do I know my risen Lord? Do I know the power of his indwelling spirit? Am I wise enough in God's sight, but foolish enough according to the wisdom of the world to trust in what Jesus Christ has said? Or am I abandoning the great supernatural position of limitless confidence in Christ Jesus, which is really God's only call for a missionary? If I follow any other method, I depart altogether from the methods prescribed by our Lord. From Matthew 28, "All authority has been given to me. Go, therefore." This has been the Daily Devotional from Silver Radio. I am your host, Silver, along with my wife, Jamie. God bless you this day.
All authority has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. Do you have any idea how profound that is? Do you have any idea how profound that simple scripture is? All authority has been given unto me. Go ye therefore.
Fantastic, Coach.
Hey, Chad, are you there? Are you there, Chad?
Yes, sir.
I see you. Hey, Chad, you're a police officer, Chad. And, you know, they commission you to be a cop. You go through the training, whatever you do as a cop. And then at some point, they hand you the keys to the car and they say, "Go ye therefore." Don't they, Chad? Isn't that what they do? You just don't sit in your car, your police car in the garage all day, do you, Chad?
No. Got to go out and, well, depends on certain ones. They go out and they're chasing calls, which means the people call 911 or something like that, and they'll go out and handle a call. And others go out, and they go out actually looking, being proactive. So one is reactive, and the other one is proactive. So the guys that you met were reactive.
They were, yep. But Chad, here's the point. The police chief or the head of the Texas State Police, whatever that guy's name is, you know what he did to you, Chad? He put a badge on you and he said, "There you go. All authority is given unto you. Go ye therefore." And when you go, Chad, you don't go representing Chad. You go representing the badge that you're wearing. And Jesus said, hey, all of you out there, here's your badge. I'm in charge. Go. All authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore. Why do you think he said therefore? Why didn't he just say go? Go. Go. Go ye, therefore. Why? Well, that's what you're there for. That's what you're there for, to go. Why? In his authority. You are his authority. Go ye, therefore. God, why can't we see that, church? Not come ye, not come and sit in our church. Or as we said, make disciples. Make disciple, not followers, not sheep, not pew sitters. Raise up disciples. Go ye, therefore. But you're there for. That's good. That's better than you guys. Amen. That's good. That's good right there. I want to throw some things up on the screen. Yeah. It is a Friday flea flicker Friday. I got some things I'm going to flick at you, but you guys are welcome to jump in here before I do. Go ahead, Dale.
You know, and I go on that and I tell people, I said, you know, when a police officer goes out there, he puts his hands up and a 4,000 pound vehicle stops. I said, it's not the man who stops it. Boy. It's the authority behind the badge. And if that authority behind that badge can stop a 4,000 pound car, imagine the authority that Christ has given us, what we can stop if we'll go out.
Boy, Dale, that is what a great picture that is. And that's not the message of the church, is it? The church is come in here and hide from the world. Get in here and hide. Oh, we don't have any authority. Get in here and hide. We're supposed to be out there saying, whoa, stop in the name of the Lord. Stop in the name of the Lord. Stop in the name of the law. What Christians are supposed to do. That is our commission. Somebody else, I hear you trying to jump in.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
I had a good experience yesterday. I got two guys from the old church I used to go to out there, old Chapel Hill.
Uh-huh.
One's named Frank and one is my son. So I've invited these guys to go over to Founders Abortion Clinic Saturday morning with me. Now I'm waiting on a response, and I told Frank, I said, I'll tell you what, Frank, because they both got Saturday morning prayer breakfast at Southside Diner. They'll have 20 to 30 guys. I told Frank, I said, here's what I'm going to do. You guys don't go Saturday. I'm going to come over on Saturday because they meet at 7 a.m. We leave at 7 to go to the clinic. I said, all right. I'm walking in that diner with my Bible to all 30 guys sitting at the table. I said, come on, boys. Let's go do a real prayer gathering at the abortion clinic and just see what the response is, just how nervous they'll all be sitting there, because I'll know every one of them.
Sure.
We got to reach them.
We got. It's the command. It's a great command. Go. The Great Commission. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment is, hey, Jared, can you pull that up? It's Matthew. I think it's Matthew 28. I think it is at the very end. Because we hear about, people talk a lot about the Great Commission. But we don't hear them say a whole lot about the Great Commandment. And they're both right there in Matthew 28.
Coach, real quick before he reads that, can you hear me?
Go ahead, Ray. Yeah, Ray, we can.
It's a good opportunity for everybody in Indiana coming up, too, if you want to mention that.
Yeah, that's November 1st through the 4th. We're going to be with Rusty and the group in Operation Save America in Indianapolis. And we will be doing street ministry, and hair will grow on your chest, and you will be very proud of being a Christian. Hey, I'd love for you, Coach, to be able to come. You need some more information on the website there. Yeah, is that Larry? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I was reading the Greek this earlier, and I thought in my head from all my training as a child and everything, this is what I used to read it as. Go and have everybody repeat a 17-word prayer, and your job is done forever.
Or JR, how about that clip you sent on Facebook today? I can't do that. I'm with you, Larry. I'm with you. Now watch, folks. Here's the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Okay. It's, yeah, we have, people talk about it all the time, and then they don't do either one of them. We call it the Great Commission. We call it the Great Commandment. We don't do either one of them. So here it is. This is the ordination process. All right. verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them and saying, I'm the new sheriff. There's a new sheriff in town. I'm in charge. All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. All right, boys? Good. Verse 19. Go ye, therefore. There's the commandment. In fact, are you disobeying the Lord if you don't go?
Yes.
Go ye, therefore. A great commandment. Go ye, therefore. Oh. What do you do? Oh, hang on, Ray. I'm sorry. Let me finish this right then. Jump in here. Go ye therefore and do what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Here it is, the great commission, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I'm commanding you to go. I'm ordaining you and sanctioning you and ordaining you to go, anointing you to go. And when you go, teach them whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment, and we don't follow either one of them. Go ahead, Ray.
Coach, it was me, George. Hey, since I've been going down to the abortion clinics on Friday, there's been nothing in my Christian faith that has energized me more, that has built my faith more than doing that. It'll break your heart seeing what you see, but you are so right. And you know, there was a guy, Coach, that I met in Branson, you know, at the C-Swell conference named Bright. Uh-huh. And I called him yesterday, and I think he's going to start joining me. I'm working on getting him to be part of the SALT brigade here in Tulsa. But you're right. It's about disciples. And it's not about being a professional minister that's too good and too proud to save the unborn, which I believe is the top thing. I believe that's our national sin, and I believe that's the thing closest and dearest to God's heart is the unborn and to protect them. So I encourage everyone, get down there. The only way you gotta jump into the fire at some point. So just jump off. You're right. It's not that hard now. But
Folks, ask yourself this question. If Jesus Christ were to walk into your church or many churches and stand in the pulpit and do a question and answer with the crowd, and someone in the crowd stood up and said, Jesus, just curious, what could we do to end abortion? How many of you think he would say, well, just pray about it? Just pray about it.
Dave?
Yeah, Rog?
That's what, first of all, in my Bible, Matthew, it uses the word obey. And I think that is seldom used, the idea of obeying his word, teaching people to obey his word. But the times I've been out to the clinic with you or by myself, it's a disaster. It's troubling. It's a holocaust. What I struggle more with is knowing if the 1,200 people in my church showed up on a Sunday morning in front of the abortion clinic, what could be done? If that's what the clinic bothers me tremendously. Don't get me wrong. That's the death camp. But I'm more bothered by these churches that don't show up at all. And if those people would only show up, things could be done. If they would only go to the house of the judge or the Supreme Court and just show up. If 1,000 of them all got arrested, they would clog the court system so much. And if they all ordered a trial, they would have to do something because the system would break down just in that account.
Amen.
Well, Roger, the problem is you don't have enough courage. Not you, but there's not enough courage.
Not enough courage.
You know, I was on the phone with a guy the other day, Coach referred him to me. He called from Missouri, and I was talking to him, and he said, well, maybe I should go in there and ask. I said, man, I'm done asking. I'm going in there, and I'm asserting myself, and I'm saying this is what's going to happen. Either join me, you want to be a man. If you don't, then you could just go on and keep being a wimp. Amen.
Because you've been commissioned in the Lord's army to go. You've been commissioned.
Hey, Coach. What yep. Gary said, listen to what I've told people. This is penetrating. Gary said, you got to come out, you got to jump in the fire. Here's a prophetic warning. If you don't jump into the fire, Jesus might just throw you into an eternal fire.
Burn now or burn later, huh, baby? Burn now or burn later. Look what somebody just put up here in the chat. Look what happened to Target. Look what happened to Target stores. Just by people signing petitions. And not,
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Piggybacking on what Roger Dale just said. Look, we've got dozens of you who watch this show. You're not even in our Salt and Light Brigade database. You won't even give us your email. So if you're going to get in the game, you got to start at ground one here. Get connected.
Amen, brother. Amen. Sign up for the team. Sign up for the team. Come on, man. The only way to do it is get in there, get your feet wet, and get moving. Can I show you some good news? Listen, I just believe this as deep as you can go in me. I believe that we're in a period of time in America right now that the Lord, I'm going to back up here a minute. See if I can get my screen changed here. I want to see if I can get on here. I got Roger's ugly mug up on there right now. Get rid of Roger off my screen. And let's do this. And I think if we could see, Jesus is probably standing up with his arms folded, tapping his foot. You know how your dad used to do that? Tapping his foot. I think he's standing up tapping his foot, wondering, what are you guys waiting on? What are you waiting on? Do you ever do that? Do you ever take your wife shopping and she's always looking for one more thing and you're over there thinking, holy God, come on. That's what the Lord's doing. What are you guys waiting on? He's tapping his foot. I just told you all power's been given unto me in heaven and earth. What are you waiting on? Don't mean to yell at you, but I believe that deep inside of me. I believe if the church made the decision, the church universal, I hear you, Larry, if we made the decision that abortion was going to be, what is today? Today is October 20, whatever. If we said abortion is over March 1st in America, if the church said abortion ends March 1st, it would end. Anybody want to argue with me on that? It would end.
Let's see it done.
Let's see it done. Well, we'll pray about it then. We'll pray the Lord will end abortion.
How about January 1st?
How about January 1st?
We got to if only Billy Graham would do it, you know?
It's always somebody else. I'm looking for somebody else. I'll pull that one out of the mothballs. I'm looking for somebody else.
You got close to him one time, Dave, because I remember you telling us that you found a golf ball of somebody else.
Yeah, that's true. I run into that somebody else all the time, Larry. I do. Let me go ahead.
Don't go mess with him, babe.
Hey, I had a pastor at a church I used to go to basically tell me that if we wouldn't yell at the people down there, they might consider coming down.
Oh, my God. Is that something? I said this off the air. I'm going to say it on the air last night. I had a pastor walk out last night. I didn't know he was a pastor. He walked out. And he walked out because the heat was getting pretty hot, would be my guess. But he walked out because he was offended because I said during my presentation that the church hasn't done a damn thing. And he just couldn't handle the swear. You know what I call that, guys? I call that straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. That's what I call that. And I thought that maybe the heat got a little bit too hot for him, and he found that as a good reason to be able to sneak out the door. Jared's got queued up for me. I'm looking for somebody else. Good work, Jared. Go ahead and play this quick little video that I made, by the way, out in front of a clinic. Go ahead, Jared.
Here on Thursday morning, I'm wondering if you can help me out. I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking for someone else. Do any of you know where I might be able to find him? You know, I called one of my one of my pastor friends yesterday and asked him if he would be willing to come with me today at the clinic. It's just me and my wife here. And he said, oh, Coach, I'd sure like to be able to come, but be honest with you, I'm really, really busy, and maybe you can find somebody else. And then I have a Target protest that's coming up this weekend. You know what Target's been doing with restrooms and all that kind of stuff. And I reached out to several of my friends and said, hey, how about coming with us Saturday morning, stand up against Target? They said, oh, Coach, I'd like to, but I got a lot of stuff planned on Saturday. Maybe you can find someone else. Yeah, and then I saw that, hard to believe this, but they killed this guy out in Oregon, Lavoie Finicum. I said, you know, we need to stand up and push back against that. I'm wondering, is anybody willing to help me out in trying to get the government to investigate what really took place there with Lavoie Finicum? And everybody I called, they gave me the same guy. They said, listen, Coach, we'd love to help you, but really, best person for you to get would be someone else. I'm looking for him. If anybody knows where I can find someone else, let me know. Oh, we need him so badly. Help me find someone else.
Amen. Yes, sir. We're gonna ride the roller coaster to hell, waiting for somebody else to rescue us, aren't we? Oh my goodness, my goodness. If it's gonna be, it's up to me. Let me throw a little bit of encouragement at you. We got about 7 minutes left here. Jared, good work there, Jared. Hey, Jared, go to the screen real quick, Jared, and I'm going to give you some good news. Just go to the very first thing there, Jared, very first link, aclj.org. Throw that up there. I mentioned this the other day, and then somebody emailed me, and they didn't believe me. So I wanted them to see that for the first time, boys and girls, it's on your screen right now. For the first time in American history, well, that'd be since 1973, for the first time ever, the Health and Human Services makes it official that the public policy of the United States that life begins at conception. First time. Ronald Reagan, George Bush. Now we got this heathen Donald Trump in there that grabs women's peas and, wow, he's a hellion. And he's the first president of the United States to order his Health and Human Services to determine life begins at conception.
Yeah, and his wife's the first one to say the Lord's Prayer, you know, on an open mic, too.
Yeah, but he grabbed women's pussies. Right? That's right.
Hey, listen, Coach, you didn't do anything wrong. They brought it into the lexicon. They want to have the Billy Bush tape to get him.
That's right. They brought it in, didn't they? They brought it in.
It's wrong, brother.
I didn't. Amen, buddy. Amen. And so I see this as, see, there's the Lord, arms folded, tapping his foot. All right, boys. All right. What are you going to do? What does this mean? The policy, the official policy of the United States government is life begins at conception. Hey, church, the Supreme Court doesn't agree with that. Hey, church, well, we better do something about that then, huh? Because the courts are not in line with the position of our government. But they don't care because the church don't care. I'm not going to read the rest of it. Right there it is. There it is. Life begins at conception. From your government. From your stinking government. Next one, Jared. Throw this one up here. Just kind of multilingual, Jared. Just trying to verify what I'm telling everybody. It's about saving Western civilization. Right wing watch. They're calling me, everywhere you look, they're calling me racist. Saying I'm saying things about black people and minorities. And I ain't saying any of that. I'm just an old Michael Savage devotee that says borders, language, and culture. If you don't have any borders and you don't have a common language and you don't share a common culture, you're no longer going to be a nation. And that is happening to us. And why do we look here? Comes out by the, is it the Census Bureau? Who does this? Doesn't matter. 65 million United States residents speak a foreign language at home. 65 million. How many million do we have? 310 million or something like that? Over 20% of Americans do not speak English in their home.
Well, that was in 2016. Jared's 326 million is what they say. And that's, you know, that's what they say. And what do we find out? They're not even speaking English in their homes. Not even, can I help you? Push one for English, push two for Spanish. What? Huh? We're being overrun, see? Slide on down there a little bit, Jared. I just want a couple things here. One, in 2016, 65 million U.S. Oh, this is, I don't have time to read all this. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. That the 65 million foreign language speakers is what? Almost triple the number back just in 1980. As a share of the population, 21.6% of U.S. residents speak a foreign language. And I got one on demographics, boys. You're not prepared to hear it here on this Friday morning. Demographic studies. Guys who look like me, soon being a minority in the land that I was born. Now you can call me a racist. You can call me everything I want. Hey folks, listen. Facts aren't racist. Facts aren't racist. And I don't know if you've picked up on this. The government's applauding other races coming in. They're applauding it. But if I stand up and say I'm applauding, I like more Caucasian. I'm a racist. Huh? Hey, take your head, your eyes are stuck, man. Yes.
Coach, America, you're right up my alley for tomorrow's show. America's doing in less than 250 years what it took Rome 500 years to accomplish. Romans 2.0, man. America is headed right there. We're imploding.
We are, brother. We are. We are. How about this, Jared, JR? The data released thus far indicates that nearly one in four public high school students now speaks a language other than English at home. In California, 44% of students in public schools do not speak English at home. 44%. That's in Texas, New Mexico, New Jersey, New York, Nevada. Roughly one in three school-aged children speaks a different language at home. Boy, they're speaking in tongues. Oh, Lord. Somebody wrap us up here. What do we got? Oh, my goodness. Well, I got a minute. Not really much time to wrap anybody up. Rob sent me a message. Is that something I got to read here? No, it's not something. I love you guys, man.
I love you too, brother.
Big weekend ahead of us. Let's not give up the ship, baby. Let's not give up the ship. And as I've said before, I'll come to your town. I'll try to raise up a group in your town. I would love to have 1,000, but I'll take 10. We'll start with 10. We'll start small. We'll multiply. Jesus said to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. We got it. We're in that again. We're in a seed planting and a seed watering and we're in a relentless pursuit of truth to try to rescue this nation. I don't know if we can do it, but I know this is a new sheriff in town. All power and authority has been given unto him. He says, hey, boy, here's your badge. Boom, there's your stamp. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. That's what you're there for. We'll see you on Monday. God bless y'all.